Chapter 52. Cranking system. Cranking circuit. Parts involved. For any engine to start, it must first be rotated using an external power source. It is the purpose and function of the cranking circuit to create the necessary power and transfer it from the battery to the starter motor, which rotates the engine. The cranking circuit includes those mechanical and electrical components that are required to crank the engine for starting. The control circuit includes those wires and components that carry a relatively small current, such as the ignition switch, safety switch, and solenoid. The power circuit carries the heavy current needed to crank the engine and includes the battery itself, plus the battery cables, solenoid, and starter motor. Modern cranking circuits include the following. Number 1. Starter motor. The starter is normally a 0.5 to 2.6 horsepower, or 0.4 to 2 kilowatts, electric motor that can develop nearly 8 horsepower, 6 kilowatts, for a very short time when first cranking a cold engine. See Figure 52-1. Number 2. Battery. The battery must be of the correct capacity and be at least 75% charged to provide the necessary current and voltage for correct starter operation. Number 3. Starter solenoid or relay. The high current required by the starter must be able to be turned on and off. A large switch would be required if the current were controlled by the driver directly. Instead, a small current switch, or ignition switch, operates a solenoid or relay that controls the high current to the starter. Number 4. Starter drive. The starter drive uses a small pinion gear that contacts the engine flywheel gear teeth and transmits starter motor power to rotate the engine. Number 5. Ignition switch. The ignition switch and safety control switches control the starter motor operation. See Figure 52-2. Control circuit parts and operation. The engine is cranked by an electric motor that is controlled by a key-operated ignition switch. The ignition switch does not operate the starter unless the automatic transmission is in neutral or park, or the clutch pedal is depressed on manual transmission/transaxle vehicles. This is to prevent any accident that might result from the vehicle moving forward or rearward when the engine is started. The types of controls that are used to be sure that the vehicle does not move when being cranked include the following. Many automobile manufacturers use an electric switch called a neutral safety switch, which opens the circuit between the ignition switch and the starter to prevent starter motor operation, unless the gear selector is in neutral or park. The safety switch can be attached either to the steering column inside the vehicle near the floor or on the side of the transmission. Many manufacturers use a mechanical blocking device in the steering column to prevent the driver from turning the key switch to the start position unless the gear selector is in neutral or park. Many manual transmission vehicles also use a safety switch to permit cranking only if the clutch is depressed. This switch is commonly called the clutch safety switch. See Figure 52-3. Refer to Figure 52-1, a typical solenoid-operated starter. Refer to Figure 52-2. The lock cylinder is often a separate part from the electrical ignition switch and operates it directly or uses a link between two components. Refer to Figure 52-3. To prevent the engine from cranking, an electrical switch is usually installed to open the circuit between the ignition switch and the starter solenoid. The control circuit includes the small wiring and components needed to control the solenoid. The starter solenoid controls the electrical current flow through the large battery cables of the power circuit that operates the starter motor. Computer-controlled starting. Operation. Many key-operated ignition systems and most push-button-to-start systems use the computer to crank the engine. The ignition switch start position on the push-to-start button is used as an input signal to the powertrain control module, abbreviated PCM. Before the PCM cranks the engine, the following conditions must be met. Number 1. The brake pedal is depressed. Number 2. The gear selector is in park or neutral. Number 3. The correct key fob, or code, is present in the vehicle. A typical push button to start system includes the following sequence. The ignition key can be turned to the start position, released, and the PCM cranks the engine until it senses that the engine has started. The PCM can detect that the engine has started by looking at the engine speed signal. Normal cranking speed can vary between 100 and 250 RPM. If the engine speed exceeds 400 RPM, the PCM determines that the engine has started and opens the circuit to the S, or start, terminal of the starter solenoid that stops the starter motor. Computer-controlled starting is almost always part of the system if a push-button start is used. See Figure 52-4. Refer to Figure 52-4. Instead of using an ignition key to start the engine, Some vehicles are using a start button, which is also used to stop the engine, as shown on this Jaguar. Remote starting, sometimes called remote vehicle start, RVS, is a system that allows the driver to start the engine of the vehicle from inside the house or a building at a distance of about 200 feet, or 65 meters. The doors remain locked to reduce the possibility of theft. This feature allows the heating or air conditioning system to start before the driver arrives. See Figure 52-5. Note: most remote start systems turn off the engine after 10 minutes of runtime unless reset by using the remote. Refer to Figure 52-5. The top button on this key fob is the remote start button. Starter motor operation. Principles: a starter motor uses electromagnetic principles to convert electrical energy from the battery, up to 300 amperes, to mechanical power, up to 8 horsepower, or 6 kilowatts, to crank the engine. Current for the starter motor or power circuit is controlled by a solenoid or relay, which is itself controlled by the driver-operated ignition switch. The current travels through the brushes and into the armature windings, where other magnetic fields are created around each copper wire loop in the armature. The two strong magnetic fields created inside the starter housing create the force that rotates the armature. Inside the starter housing is a strong magnetic field created by the field coil magnets. The armature, a conductor, is installed inside this strong magnetic field, with little clearance between the armature and the field coils. The two magnetic fields act together, and their lines of force bunch up or are strong on one side of the armature loop wire and become weak on the other side of the conductor. This causes the conductor, armature, to move from the area of strong magnetic field strength toward the area of weak magnetic field strength. See Figures 52-6 and 52-7. The difference in magnetic field strength causes the at a distance of about 200 feet, or 65 meters. The doors remain locked to reduce the possibility of theft. This feature allows the heating or air conditioning system to start before the driver arrives. See Figure 52-5. Note: most remote start systems turn off the engine after 10 minutes of runtime unless reset by using the remote. Armature to rotate. This rotation force, or torque, is increased as the current flowing through the starter motor increases. The torque of a starter is determined by the strength of the magnetic fields inside the starter. Magnetic field strength is measured in ampere turns. If the current or the number of turns of wires increased, the magnetic field strength is increased. The magnetic field of the starter motor is provided by two or more pole shoes and field windings. The pole shoes are made of iron and are attached to the frame with large screws. See Figure 52-8. Figure 52-9 shows the paths of magnetic flux lines within a four-pole motor. The field windings are usually made of a heavy copper ribbon to increase their current carrying capacity and electromagnetic field strength. See Figure 52-10. Automotive starter motors usually have four pole shoes and 2 to 4 field windings to provide a strong magnetic field within the motor. Pole shoes that do not have field windings are magnetized by flux lines from the wound poles. Refer to Figure 52-6. This series wound electric motor shows the basic operation with only two brushes, one hot brush and one ground brush. The current flows through both field coils, then through the hot brush and the loop winding of the armature, before reaching ground through the ground brush. Refer to Figure 52-7. The interaction of the magnetic fields of the armature loops and field coils creates a stronger magnetic field on the right side of the conductor, causing the armature loop to move toward the left. Series motors: a series motor develops its maximum torque at the initial start, or 0 RPM, and develops less torque as the speed increases. A series motor is commonly used for an automotive starter motor because of its high starting power characteristics. A series starter motor develops less torque at high RPM, because a current is produced in the starter itself that acts against the current from the battery. Because this current works against battery voltage, it is called counter-electromotive force, or CEMF. This CEMF is produced by electromagnetic induction in the armature conductors, which are cutting across the magnetic lines of force formed by the field coils. This induced voltage operates against the applied voltage supplied by the battery, which reduces the strength of the magnetic field in the starter. Because the power, or torque, of the starter depends on the strength of the magnetic fields, the torque of the starter decreases as the starter speed increases. A series wound starter also draws less current at higher speeds and keeps increasing in speed under light loads. This could lead to the destruction of the starter motor unless controlled or prevented. See Figure 52-11. Refer to Figure 52-8. The armature loops rotate due to the difference in the strength of the magnetic field. The loops move from a strong magnetic field strength toward a weaker magnetic field strength. Refer to Figure 52-9, magnetic lines of force in a four-pole motor. Refer to Figure 52-10, a pole shoe and field winding. Refer to Figure 52-11, this wiring diagram illustrates the construction of a series wound electric motor. Notice that all current flows through the field coils, then through the armature, in series, before reaching ground. Shunt motors, shunt-type electric motors have the field coils in parallel, or shunt, across the armature. A shunt-type motor has the following features. A shunt motor does not decrease in torque at higher motor RPM, because the CEMF produced in the armature does not decrease the field coil strength. A shunt motor, however, does not produce as high a starting torque as that produced by a series wound motor and is not used for starters. Some small electric motors, such as those used for windshield wipers, use a shunt motor, but most use permanent magnets rather than electromagnets. See Figure 52-12. Refer to Figure 52-12, this wiring diagram illustrates the construction of a shunt-type electric motor and shows the field coils in parallel, or shunt, across the armature. Refer to Figure 52-13, a compound motor is a combination of series and shunt types, using part of the field coils connected electrically in series with the armature and part in parallel, or shunt. Permanent magnet motors. A permanent magnet, abbreviated PM, starter uses permanent magnets that maintain constant field strength, the same as a shunt-type motor, so they have similar operating characteristics. To compensate for the lack of torque, all PM starters use gear reduction to multiply starter motor torque. The permanent magnets used are an alloy of neodymium, iron, and boron and are almost 10 times more powerful than previously used permanent magnets. Compound motors. A compound wound, or compound, motor has the operating characteristics of a series motor and a shunt-type motor, because some of the field coils are connected to the armature in series and some, usually only one, are connected directly to the battery in parallel, or shunt, with the armature. Compound wound starter motors are commonly used in Ford, Chrysler, and some GM starters. The shunt wound field coil is called a shunt coil and is used to limit the maximum speed of the starter. Because the shunt coil is energized as soon as the battery current is sent to the starter, it is used to engage the starter drive on older Ford positive engagement type starters. See Figure 52-13. How the starter motor works. Parts involved. A starter consists of the main structural support called the field housing, one end of which is called a commutator end, or brush end, housing, and the other end a drive end housing. The drive end housing contains the drive pinion gear, which meshes with the engine flywheel gear teeth to start the engine. The commutator end plate supports the end containing the starter brushes. Through bolts hold the three components together. See Figure 52-14. Field coils. The steel housing of the starter motor contains permanent magnets or four electromagnets that are connected directly to the positive post of the battery to provide a strong magnetic field inside the starter. The four electromagnets use heavy copper or aluminum wire wrapped around a soft iron core, which is contoured to fit against the rounded internal surface of the starter frame. The soft iron cores are called pole shoes. Two of the four pole shoes are wrapped with copper wire in one direction to create a north pole magnet, and the other two pole shoes are wrapped in the opposite direction to create a south pole magnet. These magnets, when energized, create strong magnetic fields inside the starter housing and, therefore, are called field coils. The soft iron cores, pole shoes, are often called field poles. See Figure 52-15. Armature. Inside the field coils is an armature that is supported with either bushings or ball bearings at both ends, which permit it to rotate. The armature is constructed of thin, circular discs of steel laminated together and wound lengthwise with heavy gauge insulated copper wire. The laminated iron core supports the copper loops of wire and helps concentrate the magnetic field produced by the coils. See Figure 52-16. Insulation between the laminations helps to increase the magnetic efficiency in the core. For reduced resistance, the armature conductors are made of a thick copper wire. The two ends of each conductor are attached to two adjacent commutator bars. The commutator is made of copper bars insulated from each other by mica or some other insulating material. See Figure 52-17. The armature core, windings, and commutator are assembled on a long armature shaft. This shaft also carries the pinion gear that meshes with the engine flywheel ring gear. Refer to Figure 52-14, A typical starter motor showing the drive end housing. Refer to Figure 52-15, pole shoes and field windings installed in the housing. Refer to Figure 52-16, a typical starter motor armature. The armature core is made from thin sheet metal sections assembled on the armature shaft, which is used to increase the magnetic field strength. Refer to Figure 52-17. An armature showing how its copper wire loops are connected to the commutator. Starter brushes. To supply the proper current to the armature, a four-pole motor must have four brushes riding on the commutator. Most automotive starters have two grounded and two insulated brushes, which are held against the commutator by spring force. The ends of the copper armature windings are soldered to commutator segments. The electrical current that passes through the field coils is then passed to the commutator of the armature by brushes that can move over the segments of the rotating armature. These brushes are made of a combination of copper and carbon. The copper used here is a good conductor material. The carbon added to the starter brushes helps provide the graphite-type lubrication needed to reduce wear of the brushes and the commutator segments. The starter uses four brushes. Two brushes to transfer the current from the field coils to the armature and two brushes to provide the ground return path for the current that flows through the armature. The two sets of brushes include: Number 1. Two insulated brushes, which are in holders and are insulated from the housing. Number 2. Two ground brushes, which use bare, stranded copper wire connections to the brushes. The ground brush holders are not insulated and attached directly to the field housing or brush end housing. See Figure 52-18. Permanent magnet fields. Permanent magnets are used in place of the electromagnetic field coils in pole shoes in many starters today. This eliminates the motor field circuit, which in turn eliminates the potential for field coil faults and other electrical problems. The motor has only an armature circuit. Tech tip: don't hit that starter. In the past, it was common to see service technicians hitting a starter in their effort to diagnose a no-crank condition. Often the shock of the blow to the starter aligned or moved the brushes, armature, and bushings. Many times, the starter functioned after being hit, even if only for a short time. However, most starters today use permanent magnet fields, and the magnets can be easily broken if hit. A magnet that is broken becomes two weaker magnets. Some early permanent magnet starters used magnets that were glued or bonded to the field housing. If struck with a heavy tool, the magnets could be broken with parts of the magnet falling onto the armature and into the bearing pockets, making the starter impossible to repair or rebuild. See Figure 52-19. Refer to Figure 52-18, a cutaway of a typical starter motor showing the commutator, brushes, and brush spring. Refer to Figure 52-19. This starter permanent magnet field housing was ruined when someone used a hammer on the field housing in an attempt to fix a starter that did not work. A total replacement is the only solution in this case. Refer to Figure 52-20. A typical gear reduction starter. Gear reduction starters. Purpose and function. Gear reduction starters are used by many automotive manufacturers. The purpose of the gear reduction, typically 2:1 to 4:1, is to increase starter motor speed and provide the torque multiplication necessary to crank an engine. As a series wound motor increases in rotational speed, the starter produces less power, and less current is drawn from the battery because the armature generates greater CEMF as the starter speed increases. However, a starter motor's maximum torque occurs at 0 RPM and torque decreases with increasing RPM. A smaller starter using a gear reduction design can produce the necessary cranking power with reduced starter amperage requirements. Lower current requirements mean that smaller battery cables can be used. Many permanent magnet starters use a planetary gear set, a type of gear reduction, to provide the necessary torque for starting. See Figure 52-20. Starter drives. Purpose and function. A starter drive includes small pinion gears that mesh with and rotate the larger gear on the engine flywheel or flex plate for starting. The pinion gear must engage with the engine gear slightly before the starter motor rotates to prevent serious damage to either the starter gear or the engine, but must be disengaged after the engine starts. The ends of the starter pinion gear are tapered to help the teeth mesh more easily without damaging the flywheel ring gear teeth. See Figure 52-21. Refer to Figure 52-21, a cutaway of a typical starter drive showing all of the internal parts. Figure 52-22, the ring gear to pinion gear ratio is usually 15:1 to 20:1. Starter drive gear ratio. The ratio of the number of teeth on the engine ring gear to the number on the starter pinion is between 15:1 and 20:1. A typical small starter pinion gear has 9 teeth that turn an engine ring gear with 166 teeth. This provides an 18-to-1 gear reduction, thus, the starter motor is rotating approximately 18 times faster than the engine. Normal cranking speed for the engine is 200 RPM, varies from 70 to 250 RPM. This means that the starter motor speed is 18 times faster, or 3,600 starter RPM. If the engine starts and is accelerated to 2,000 RPM, normal cold engine speed, the starter is destroyed by the high speed, 36,000 RPM, if the starter was not disengaged from the engine. See Figure 52-22. Starter drive operation. All starter drive mechanisms use a type of one-way clutch that allows the starter to rotate the engine, but then turns freely if the engine speed is greater than the starter motor speed. This clutch, called an overrunning clutch, protects the starter motor from damage if the ignition switch is held in the start position after the engine starts. The overrunning clutch, which is built in as a part of the starter drive unit, uses steel balls or rollers installed in tapered notches. See Figure 52-23. This taper forces the balls or rollers tightly into the notch when rotating in the direction necessary to start the engine. When the engine rotates faster than the starter pinion, the balls or rollers are forced out of the narrow tapered notch, allowing the pinion gear to turn freely, or overrun. The spring between the drive tang or pulley and the overrunning clutch and pinion is called a mesh spring. It helps to cushion and control the engagement of the starter drive pinion with the engine flywheel gear. This spring is also called a compression spring, because the starter solenoid or starter yoke compresses the spring and the spring tension causes the starter pinion to engage the engine flywheel. Refer to Figure 52-23. Operation of the overrunning clutch. Figure A, starter motor is driving the starter pinion and cranking the engine. The rollers are wedged against spring force into their slots. Figure B, the engine has started and is rotating faster than the starter armature. Spring force pushes the rollers so they can rotate freely. Failure mode. A starter drive is generally a dependable unit and does not require replacement unless defective or worn. The major wear occurs in the overrunning clutch section of the starter drive unit. The steel balls or rollers wear and often do not wedge tightly into the tapered notches as is necessary for engine cranking. A worn starter drive can cause the starter motor to operate and then stop cranking the engine further, creating a whining noise. The whine indicates that the starter motor is operating and that the starter drive is not rotating the engine flywheel. The entire starter drive is replaced as a unit. The overrunning clutch section of the starter drive cannot be serviced or repaired separately because the drive is a sealed unit. Starter drives are most likely to fail intermittently at first and then more frequently, until replacement becomes necessary to start the engine. Intermittent starter drive failure, or starter whine, is often most noticeable during cold weather. Frequently asked question. What is a Bendix? Older model starters often used a Bendix drive mechanism, which used inertia to engage the starter pinion with the engine flywheel gear. Inertia is the tendency of a stationary object to remain stationary, because of its weight, unless forced to move. On these older model starters, the small starter pinion gear was attached to a shaft with threads, and the weight of this gear caused it to be spun along the threaded shaft and mesh with the flywheel whenever the starter motor spun. If the engine speed was greater than the starter speed, the pinion gear was forced back along the threaded shaft and out of mesh with the flywheel gear. The Bendix drive mechanism has generally not been used since the early 1960s, but some technicians use this term when describing a starter drive. Refer to Figure 52-24. Wiring diagram of a typical starter solenoid. Notice that both the pull-in winding and the hold-in winding are energized when the ignition switch is first turned to the start position. As soon as the solenoid contact disc makes electrical contact with both the B and M terminals, the battery current is conducted to the starter motor and electrically neutralizes the pull-in winding. Starter solenoids. Solenoid operation. A starter solenoid is an electromagnetic switch containing two separate, but connected, electromagnetic windings. This switch is used to engage the starter drive and control the current from the battery to the starter motor. Solenoid windings. The two internal windings contain approximately the same number of turns but are made from different gauge wire. Both windings together produce a strong magnetic field that pulls a metal plunger into the solenoid. The plunger is attached to the starter drive through a shift forked lever. When the ignition switch is turned to the start position, the motion of the plunger into the solenoid causes the starter drive to move into mesh with the flywheel ring gear. Number 1. The heavier gauge winding, called the pull-in winding, is needed to draw the plunger into the solenoid and is grounded through the starter motor. Number 2. The lighter gauge winding, called the holding winding, which is grounded through the starter frame, produces enough magnetic force to keep the plunger in position. The main purpose of using two separate windings is to permit as much current as possible to operate the starter and yet provide the strong magnetic field required to move the starter drive into engagement. See Figure 52-24. Operation. Number 1. The solenoid operates as soon as the ignition or computer-controlled relay energizes the S, or, start, terminals. At that instant, the plunger is drawn into the solenoid enough to engage the starter drive. Number 2. The plunger makes contact with a metal disc that connects the battery terminal post of the solenoid to the motor terminal. This permits full battery current to flow through the solenoid to operate the starter motor. Number 3. The contact disc also electrically disconnects the pull and winding. The solenoid has to work to supply current to the starter. Therefore, if the starter motor operates at all, the solenoid is working, even though it may have high external resistance that could cause slow starter motor operation. Refer to Figure 52-25, a palm-sized starter armature. Frequently asked question. How are starters made so small? Starters and most components in a vehicle are being made as small and as light in weight as possible to help increase vehicle performance and fuel economy. A starter can be constructed smaller due to the use of gear reduction and permanent magnets to achieve the same cranking torque as a straight drive starter, but using much smaller components. See Figure 52-25 for an example of an automotive starter armature that is palm size. Stop-start systems. Purpose and function. Stop-start systems are designed to increase fuel economy and reduce exhaust emissions. Fuel economy and the reduction of CO2 emissions are estimated to be 5% to 10%, depending on the vehicle and how it is being operated. With stop-start mechanism, the engine is stopped to reduce the fuel consumption when the vehicle is stopped at traffic signals or in stop-and-go traffic conditions. Various vehicle manufacturers refer to stop-start systems using different terms, including Number 1. Auto stop. See Figure 52-26. Number 2. Stop start. Number 3. Idle stop, Honda. Number 4. Smart stop, Toyota. Number 5. Intelligent stop and go, Kia. Number 6. Auto start stop, BMW, and Number 7. Engine stop start abbreviated, ESS, Chrysler. Refer to Figure 52-26. A Buick auto stop system lets the driver know when the engine is stopped. Conditions for stop start to occur. Before the PCM engages the stop start function, the following parameters must be achieved. Number 1. Engine speed is within idling range. Number 2. Accelerator pedal is not depressed. Number 3. Vehicle speed is low or zero, depending on the type of starter used. Number 4. Battery state of charge abbreviated, SOC, is above threshold. And Number 5. Hood is closed. Stop-start system components. It is estimated that a stop-start system starts the engine about 500,000 times in the life of the vehicle compared to about 5,000 times for a conventional starting system. A typical stop-start system includes the following components. Number 1. An absorbed glass mat abbreviated, AGM, or enhanced lead acid abbreviated, ELA, battery. Number 2. Battery sensor. Used by the PCM to determine the current entering and leaving the battery in order to estimate the battery SOC. Number 3. At lower engine speeds. Number 4. Hood switch, used by the PCM to disengage stop-start if the hood is open. Number 5. HVAC control unit, used to start the engine if cooling or heat is required in the passenger compartment. Refer to Figure 52-27. Using two solenoids allows independent control of the pinion gear and motor energization. Starter motor designs. Because the engine needs to be restarted many times a day, if driving in heavy congested traffic, the starter used must be robust and capable of starting the engine over 500,000 times during the life of the system. There are three designs of starters used in stop-start system, including Number 1. Advanced engagement starter abbreviated, AE. An advanced engagement starter works like a typical starter. When energized, the pinion shifts forward by the starter solenoid and engages with the engine's ring gear, or flywheel, and immediately spins. This starter design requires that the engine speed is zero before re-engagement and engine restart can occur. To survive, the increased usage requires long-life electrical brushes, plus an enhanced pinion spring mechanism that reduces ring gear, or flywheel wear. Number 2. Tandem solenoid starter abbreviated, TS. Using a starter that has two solenoids allows the starter to engage the flywheel of the engine when it is still moving, such as when the vehicle is coasting to a stop. A tandem solenoid starter design is also able to start the engine within 0.5 and 1.5 seconds, compared to about 3 seconds for a conventional starter. A conventional starter uses the solenoid to engage the starter pinion, then, when it is being held by the hold and winding, the solenoid energizes the starter motor, cranking the engine. The use of a dual solenoid allows the two functions of the starter solenoid to work independently. One solenoid is used to engage the starter drive into the engine ring gear. The other solenoid is used to engage the operation of the starter motor, see figure 52-27. This allows the engine to be re-engaged and restarted by the starter motor when the engine RPM is falling from idle, about 600 RPM, to 0 RPM. A tandem solenoid starter is almost identical in size and shape, so it can be used on almost any engine. Number 3. Permanently engaged starter abbreviated, PE. A permanently engaged starter delivers the quickest and quietest restart times of all starter motor-based systems. In this system, the starter and flywheel gears are permanently connected, so there are no concerns with gear engagement and disengagement. The P starter eliminates the starter pinion gear shifting mechanism with its slight delay in activating by mounting the starter to the engine permanently engaged with the flywheel. When a restart is needed, the motor is simply energized, which immediately recranks the engine. There is no waiting or delay since the starter gear is already mated to the flywheel. The flywheel does require a special clutching mechanism to disconnect it from engine RPM after engine start. Frequently asked question: can a stop-start system be turned off? Sometimes. Some vehicles equipped with a stop-start system can be turned off using a button on the dash or center stack. See figure 52-28. Refer to figure 52-28. The stop-start system on this Ford F-150 pickup truck can be turned off using a switch on the dash. Review questions. 1. What is the difference between the control circuit and the power, motor, circuit sections of a typical cranking circuit? 2. What are the parts of a typical starter? 3. Why does a gear reduction unit reduce the amount of current required by the starter motor? 4. What are the symptoms of a defective starter drive? 5. Why are there two windings in the starter solenoid? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. Starter motors operate on the principle that A. The field coils rotate in the opposite direction from the armature. B. Opposite magnetic poles repel. C. Like magnetic poles repel. D. The armature rotates from a strong magnetic field toward a weaker magnetic field. Question 2. Series wound electric motors. A. Produce electrical power. B. Produce maximum power at 0 RPM. C. Produce maximum power at high RPM. D. Use a shunt coil. Question 3. Technician A says that a defective solenoid can cause a starter whine. Technician B says that a defective starter drive can cause a starter whining noise. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 4. The neutral safety switch is located A. Between the starter solenoid and the starter motor. B. Inside the ignition switch itself. C. Between the ignition switch and the starter solenoid. D. In the battery cable between the battery and the starter solenoid. Question 5. The brushes are used to transfer electrical power between A. Field coils and the armature. B. The commutator segments. C. The solenoid and the field coils. D. The armature and the solenoid. Question 6. The faster a starter motor rotates, A. the more current it draws from the battery. B. The less CEMF is generated. C. The less current it draws from the battery. D. The greater the amount of torque produced. Question 7. Normal cranking speed of the engine is about A. 2000 RPM. B. 1500 RPM. Circa 1000 RPM. D. 200 RPM. Question 8. A starter motor rotates about times faster than the engine. A. 18. B. 10. Circa 5. D. 2. Question 9. Permanent magnets are commonly used for what part of the starter? A. Armature. B. Solenoid. C. Field coils. D. Commutator. Question 10. A stop-start system includes what components? A. A special starter. B. An AGM, or ELA battery. C. A switch to turn the system off in some vehicles. D. All of the above. End of chapter 52.